afraid of when you're at the ski hill? Well, today we're going to talk about fears and phobias as they relate to skiing, snowboarding, and other activities on the ski mountains here today on the Ski Rex Media Podcast. But the ground is still wet, so I didn't get to go outside and use Ski Rex Media Headquarters Studio Number 2, also known as the backyard or the outside studio, like I did that one time. Welcome back after a bye week. Yes, I did a little repeat last week. I hope you don't mind. That was the origin story of Ski Rex Media and the Ski Rex character, such as it is, the one that you saw on the shirt that in that episode, and the new logo on the new shirt that you saw if you joined us for this past Saturday's live stream. And if you've seen, I mean, the merch is out there. People have bought it, and it is all out there. Shout out to Tech Rob, Alyssa, Scooter, and Snowcat, and anybody else, my mom and her husband, anybody else who has something from the old Ski Rex Media merch store. Thank you for that. Shout out to you all that helped support the program and keep it running, but I'm pretty sure you all knew that. So, let's just jump in, I know, I never jump in, I know that. I'm always too long-winded and go off on tangents, but today, we're talking about fears and phobias while on the ski mountain. Now, this came up in conversation on Twitter, and it focused, at least it seemed to me, because I think I got lost in part of that. I went back through some of that conversation, and there were whole parts that I missed over days, and I missed a ton of shit. So, the way I saw it, the fears and phobias that we were talking about surrounded around a couple of things, and the one I want to start with is the one that I can relate to, and that's chairlifts. Now, we were talking about chairlifts, and people are a little, I don't know if fear and phobia, because I don't think it's a phobia, I don't know. I'm not a psychologist. I don't know if it's necessarily a fear so much, maybe some intimidation, because there are lifts out there that are a little difficult to use. Not every lift is one of these brandy new, fancy, streamlined, slow around the bowl wheel, detachable, friggin' bubble chaired, heated super lifts, or awesome gondolas. I like gondolas personally. I know some people hate gondolas. I love them. I have no issue with them at all. But I do understand that not every lift is the same. Every chairlift is the same. Not every surface lift is the same. Not every gondola is the same. They're not the same, and some of us have trouble with some of them. I've absolutely seen it and absolutely heard it. I've told my story. I told my story as part of a different podcast episode, as part of, it was the feature of that episode. I was talking about my most embarrassing ski story, and we'll be getting into more embarrassing ski stories on this coming live stream on May 2nd. There was a Poma lift at Killington. It wiped my ass out 3 times in a row. A little bit of embarrassment, but I developed a fear of surface lifts. I definitely am cautious of them because that one wiped me out, but chairlifts, I'm never afraid. I'll sit right down on that thing. I kind of wish I had one here in the old Ski Rex Media headquarters. Do the podcast with my lift chair hanging off. Actually, I don't know if the ceiling could support one, but I would try it. You know, with the right rigging, you could probably make it work. Someone could make it work. I don't know if I could. But is it a fear? Do people fear them? And from what we were talking, from what I've seen, I don't think people, I mean, there's going to be someone afraid of it because there's always someone afraid of something. And it's based in a couple of things. Again, not a psychologist. Don't take any of this like I know what I'm talking about. I'm just observing. It really does come down to people who've gotten wiped out by a chair. Whether, for instance, like my Poma incident, I just couldn't get up the friggin' thing. People have gotten hurt loading and just trashed. Just even if they didn't get hurt a lot, they did get bumped or bumped off, like, say, the deck on the loading area, or the deck on the depending on the type of chair it is. People who have gotten caught up in, like, the gondola, you know, trying to get out of it or get into it. Not necessarily the easiest thing to do with ski boots. In snowboarding boots, it might be a little bit easier. Again, not a problem for me. So it might be a little weird that I'm talking about the chairlifts and talking about the gondolas if I don't have a problem with them personally. I will say, though, I don't know if it's really a fear, but it does seem like it to some people. And I'm here to help you alleviate that fear. That's really what we're getting into. Because if you're afraid to get on a chairlift because of a past experience or because it looks a little sketchy to you, again, I wholly understand if you don't want to get on a lift because where you arrive might be sketchy. You know, you see some of those giant gondolas. They have those big giant gondolas in, like, Europe. You know, we don't have a lot of them here in the United States that I can think of, but, I mean, that one, well, here, let's do a United States one. That big-ass Jackson Hole tram, that red one, we all know it, pretty iconic. You see it all the time, every year, goes up Jackson, you know, go to Jackson Hole, takes you up, you come down it, and you can get into Corbett's doing that. It's one of the baddest runs in the United States. People say that all the time. So I can imagine if it's not the lift, it might be the terrain. And that's actually another one of the fears we're going to talk about is the terrain. But let's just keep talking about lifts for a few minutes. I want you to know that there's nothing to be afraid of. There isn't. If you did get wiped out by a difficult chair, I do believe I saw someone saying they got wiped out by the single chair at Mad River Glen. I could see that. That is an antique. It is small. It is compact. I'm willing to bet it's the chair itself isn't much wider than my desk chair. It might not even be as wide. This is a pretty, you know, for a cheap desk chair, it's a nice desk chair. I like it. But it's got plenty of room for me to move, you know, and I don't think the MRG single chair has a lot of room to move. So you get wiped out pretty easy on that thing. And I get it. Like, I've been on older lifts for a little while. When I worked at Mount Snow, Bear Trap was still a tight little double chair. You know, if you get on that with the wrong person or someone you don't know, it might get a little sketchy. They might sit down. It's like driving in a city that isn't yours. Everybody drives differently. So if you're getting on a lift with someone who's not in typically in your group, someone that you know, don't typically go riding with, skiing or riding, it will be a different experience and it can throw you off. And generally it doesn't. Same with driving. Generally it doesn't throw you off. But if you go to somewhere like Las Vegas where everybody drives differently because nobody's from that town, so it doesn't have its own style on the roads, and I think there's people out there that can back me up on that, it really can be an unsettling experience getting on that lift. So that I can get as being unsettling, you know. It's something, again, I'm hesitant to actually use the word fear or use a word phobia. Because I don't know if that's exactly accurate, but I can't say that people aren't afraid of it either because, like I said, someone is afraid of something. Everyone is afraid of something. Everything is, someone's afraid of everything, if that makes sense, you know. But and I wouldn't judge somebody from that. I have plenty of fears. Like, I'm not afraid to admit it, you know. I'm afraid of the dark. I don't lie about it. I'm afraid to fly. I don't lie about it. But what I do think is that, and again, with a lot of fears, it only usually takes one incident, one bad experience to make someone afraid of something, whether that experience happened as a child and it affects you all the way through or affects someone all the way through their, you know, their whole adult life, or even if they've had that experience in their adult life. I know someone who, I don't know if they're actually afraid to go back snowboarding, but one of their first times out, they had a wreck, and they've never really been back to it. Similarly, I know people whose first experience learning how to ski, like, it was honestly just a bitter cold day, and they weren't prepared for it, and they haven't gone back because they can't get past that. And the goal, anytime there's something like that, obviously is to help, or is to move past it the best one can, or to get help to move past it, or to help someone move past it. And fear of a lift, it could be as simple as just getting back on the lift and then doing it successfully. Lord knows, I avoid surface lifts because of that one time I biffed three times in the same line at the same time, back to back to back, and I hate surface lifts. Not that I say I can't do them, but I haven't done one since. And, you know, around in the United States, you know, you can avoid them pretty easily. You know, we love our chairs and our gondolas here. Or at least it seems that way. Obviously, there are a lot of surface lifts around, but, you know. But the thing is that was a Poma specifically. And rope toe, no issue. T-bar and a Poma chair, or a Poma lift, they're pretty much the exact same thing. You know, and yet one I wiped out on and one I won't. So why? It's all in the mental, all psychological. And that's what a lot of professionals, again, not a professional, but a lot of, because I have studied fear a little bit. You know, fear is all in the mind. Even if we can accept it, too, and that's the thing. We can all accept that chairs, generally chairlifts, are safe. Even if you see these horrible videos. Like, what was it, last year or the year before? We all saw the video went viral. The chairs started whipping backwards and just throwing people left and right. It was ridiculous. Has that stopped any of us from getting on a chair? Probably not anybody at this time who's watching or listening to this, watching this, hashtag watching. But it could stop some people because it's like, wow, that could happen. Like, now I'm afraid. It's like the fear of flying thing. You know goddamn well the plane's not going to crash. The odds are astronomical for it to go down. Yet, people like me can't get that image out of their head, and they don't like to do it. And I've done it. I just don't like to do it. And luckily for me, Dramamine has the same effect on me as NyQuil has on most people. Knocks me right the hell out. There's whole flights I don't remember. Not that I've taken a lot, but I will say I flew from Las Vegas to Seattle once, and I don't remember it. Walked in, sat down on the plane. Next thing I know, we were unloading. It was amazing. Amazing. Makes you wonder what they put in that Dramamine. It really does. But anyway, the point stands. And again, I'm also going to get to another one of my stupid fears about that pertains to skiing and snowboarding as well. But we're, like I said, we're talking about chairs. And I'll get off chairs because, again, it does come down to me, it feels like. And the way we were talking about it and the way if you look around other stories, it really is just the bad experience. It was the once in a thousand chance that someone, like, for instance, last season before, we were just talking about it because the final coroner's report and a possible lawsuit came out. The man from New Jersey who was on the chair at Vail, who got caught up in the chair, and his clothes wrapped so tightly around him, he asphyxiated. He smothered himself to death. Not smothered, but you know what I'm saying. He asphyxiated. Y'all know what that word means. And he, you know, but does that scare people into getting back on a chair? And typically not, because that is that's a rare happening. Like that was a one in a million shot, easy. And yet that it did happen. So, again, I may not know what I'm talking about, but it does seem to me that the fear of lifts is a very real thing. And it's not just chairs. I've been focusing mostly on chairs because I don't know many stories of people getting, you know, having issues with gondolas. You know, you step on, you step off. I know I've gotten, you know, a little squirrely in my footing because, you know, if a deck has the metal grate and you have a nice flat boot that's a little slippery, gets a little slippery, similar to how you kind of, it almost feels like your car's moving a little on graded bridges, kind of feels like that. And, you know, it's, I can see why, again, the experience, a single experience could make you afraid. But if you are afraid, here is my suggestion. This goes with the lifts. If you do happen to be afraid of it, you come ride with me. I'll take you up the lift. I will. In fact, we can go try a surface lift if you want, just to see if I can do it. Because if I biff it again, then you can laugh and have a good old time and maybe forget about your own fear, your own phobia, being afraid of that lift. And we could just go jump on a chair and take our runs. That might be fun, too. But you know what? Go with someone you know. So all kidding aside, you know, or strike up a conversation with your local lifty. 99% of the time, the lifty's going to be one of the coolest people you're going to meet on the mountain. And I love my lifty brothers and sisters. I do. And that's why they are there. And they accept that. They accept that part of their job, man. If you have a question, if you're not sure, just talk to them, man. They'll help you out. They will, you know what, you can even talk them into slowing that chair down. Obviously, they all have different rules and regulations about how and when and why. they do that, just like if they stop it. But, you know, they can help you. And that's really what you need with a fear like this, is a support system. Get all the help you can get. If you can get the lift line cheering you on, that whole lift queue, you know, just everybody, yeah, motherfucker, do it. Do it. I'll help you get the cheering section. Not that I'm anybody, but I'll start you. I'll be like, blah, 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 blah. And we'll get you motivated. We'll get you up there. Although with this coming season, if the COVID-19 restrictions continue, you might not have to worry about riding a chair with a friend. It might be single chairs for everybody, no matter how many seats the thing is wide. You may have to. So that's lifts. That's the fear of lifts, at least to me. Again, I'm not going to just come out and say, you know, there's nothing to be afraid of, dude. I may think there's nothing to be afraid of. I can tell you why there probably shouldn't be anything to be afraid of. But that doesn't mean you're not afraid of it. And, you know, it's not right of anybody to tell you, dude, like, don't be afraid. Why? To ask you why, maybe, and that might help you if you talk about it. Talk can help. I'm talking every week on here. Has it helped me? Maybe, I don't know. But, you know, what I'm saying is talk may help. Talk it out. But don't let anybody judge you on it, because your fears are your own. And, you know, nobody should say anything bad about what you're afraid of. I mean, if you deal with it in an unhealthy way, all right, maybe there's points to be made. But, you know, generally, like, I tell people, I'm afraid to fly. I've done it, but I don't like to do it. And I like road tripping better anyway. But, you know, I don't let anybody hold it against me. Yes, with some people, it can be more of it can be a pain in the ass is what it can be, to put it quite bluntly. And if it becomes too big of a pain in the ass, then there's just problems. But I'll get on the plane. I've gotten on the plane before, and eventually if I go to Europe, I'm probably going to have to, because I'd rather be on a plane than a boat. Not afraid of boats. I do get seasick, but that can be handled. But, God, that's, to be on a boat for 3 or 4 or 5 days to, say, get from the United States to Europe, that's something, man. Like, I'd rather drive it, but obviously you can't drive across the Atlantic Ocean. I mean, I guess you could with the right kind of car if it was amphibious, but I don't know. But you know what I'm saying. I'd rather just get there and then do all my ground travel when I'm there. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. It's, what I'm saying is, yeah, fears may be a pain in the ass for some people, but that you can deal with. If you are dealing with it in an unhealthy way, you know, ask for whatever help you need to deal with things in a healthy way. We all need to do it. I've had to, you know, ask for help from time to time. But don't let anybody treat your fears like shit. Don't let anybody treat you like shit because of it. If you're afraid of a chairlift, say that. We don't have to use that lift. You know, there's plenty of runs we can take, and then on another day, I'll take the lifts on the other chairlift. But aside from the fear of the chair itself, where people have gotten wiped out, as I said, fallen off a chair. And if you've fallen from a really big height, then I really get it. I had a friend and my ex, they fell off a chair. We got to the top, the rest of us snuck off. It was a quad. Two of us snuck off. My ex and one of my other friends, they were on that. She got hung up on the chair. My friend got hung up on her, and they went around the bowl wheel and got, and that's when they detached from the chair and they fell onto each other, and from a good 7 foot up. So that hurt. And it didn't bother them. It hurt, you know, and they, you know, walked it off, had to ice up a hip or two, but after that it was fine. And continued to attempt skiing for, you know, they don't, you know, well, actually, I haven't talked to either of them in a while, really, so, you know, I don't know if either of them skis or snowboards, but, you know, anymore. But my point stands. Some people it affects, some people it doesn't. But aside from the chairlift itself, and again, I don't mind avoiding chairlifts if you want to, depending on, you know, if you don't like one specifically, or a gondola, you don't like that specifically. Because for some people, it's just the being on there. It's like if the lift stops and you're stuck there swaying, you know. For some people, that's just patience, you know. just sitting there like, you know, really, why is this taking so long, you know. But for other people, they get really anxiety-ridden over this kind of thing. You know, and you just got to, you know. And for the most part, I feel that most people push through that, and, you know, because it doesn't take long usually to get restarted. If you are in a gondola in bad weather or a chair in bad weather, and we've all seen the video where they go from like this to this, you know, that could be scary. But will that keep you fearful of it forever and not just the fear you feel in the moment. I don't know. But beyond that, people are also afraid of some of the terrain. Actually, it's the terrain and the heights. And those two are also, linked to chairs and other lifts. Because some of those lifts, if you look down, you could be 3 feet off the ground. You could be 100 feet off the ground. If you have a problem with heights and you look down, it's like, oh, my God. And you freak out. Or if the terrain that you're coming up to, you get up there, and people have done it. While I was working at Mount Snow, I have talked to people, to ski patrol. We had ski patroller friends, and they said every so often, a person will take, go down the, like on Mount Snow, the north face is where it is like almost all diamonds on that side. And people will go over there, go down the run a little bit, realize on a steep, they're on a steep that they didn't want to be on, and they freak out and they can't handle it. And then, patrol goes and gets them, either on a snowmobile or with a sled if they need to. It happens. Scared skier happens. Scared snowboarder happens. And sometimes, and again, that's why I was wondering if fear and phobia is really accurate. Because, if you're scared at a specific time, that's one thing. If that fear is constant, like a fear of steeps and a fear of going fast, this can obviously be overcome with experience. The better one becomes, the less there is to be afraid of. And yet, some people, it gets just ingrained. I really should have studied more of the psychology on fear and phobia before I did this, but this was kind of impromptu. We were talking about this on Sunday night, I think, and it's now Tuesday, and this comes out on Wednesday. So that's how quick it happens here on Ski Rex Media. Some people are afraid of the terrain, the steeps, the trees. There's people who go into a tree run thinking, all right, I can do it. And then it gets a little tight in there. And then it's just like, oh, my God, I can't do it. And, and typically, in those situations, not everybody needs a ski patrol assist. You pop your skis off, you pop your board off, and you walk. I've seen people do that a lot. They're like, I was just too afraid of how fast I can go. I felt like I could control myself better on foot. Great. But there are people who are just beaten, just like, oh, my God, I can't do this. I just can't do this. Bump runs as well. Bump runs, I think, is a fear of getting hurt. I think a lot of this stuff actually is based in two things. Whether you are afraid of the lift, and again, I don't know, because I don't know everybody's specific story, everybody in the world. What I'm going on is the idea of what is there really to be afraid of? And it really comes down to, and again, my own personal fears. A lot of this comes down to very similar things. It's a fear of embarrassment. You don't want people to, see you mess up, see you get hurt. A fear of being hurt. Nobody likes getting hurt. And a fear, even though you are doing what could be a very dangerous sport, you're still afraid to get hurt. And if you get into a situation and that crosses your mind, like, oh, my God, it's fucking steep, I can get really hurt, that's a problem. Or the fear of death, which really kicks in for a lot of people. I've never personally seen someone die on the mountain, but I thought I did once. We saw someone coming down, a person fell, but they fell backwards, and they ended up sitting on their skis. And if you've ever, if you ski, that's the worst way you can fall, because you've turned into a sled. And you're a rocket sled at that. And if you can't get yourself under control to, push sideways, you're going to rocket into something. And we saw a woman while we were on one of the North Face. We were at Mount Snow that day, actually, and it was on the North Face, and we're riding a lift up, and all you heard was a scream, and you saw a person come rocketing down the hill, basically on a sled, and she wrapped around that tree, and she fell to the ground, and she did not move. As she was going out of sight, we saw her move, and we found out later that she did survive. She was fine. She would eventually be fine. She got fucked up, though. I don't know what the actual injuries were, and there you go. So that's someone who might then become afraid of steeps. They might become afraid of the steeper hills, and I'm not saying that the stuff at Mount Snow is ultra steep. It isn't. Ripcord's pretty steep, but the rest is, doable if you have some experience. I used to ski on the North Face all the time. But, again, one incident, and then that incident is based in the fear of getting hurt. I am afraid to get hurt again. I am afraid to fall or mess up in front of people, or I am afraid to die. That, I feel like, is what it comes down to. And I kind of think that being afraid of the lifts is part of that, only because, basically because I don't fully understand it. Like I said, I understand a little bit, but for me, like the Poma thing, it was a little embarrassing messing up over and over again in front of people. And the thought of doing that again is kind of what keeps me off it. Also, I got really pissed at myself for that, so I'm probably still a little pissed at myself for messing up. So that's another thing that keeps me off it. Could I probably just go and do it right now? Probably. I probably could. Well, not right now because it's a sunny day and there's only grass, and I don't have grass keys. But, you know what I mean. Like, it really – fear can be easily overcome. I'm not saying all fear can. I'm saying it can be easily overcome. Yeah, I really do think a lot of it can be overcome. And again, a lot of that is with experience, practice, getting into the routines or habits or techniques, using the proper techniques to be comfortable in those situations. And then once you have comfort, you get into your comfort zone, and then you obviously can do it, and you're not afraid of it anymore. Some people, like for flying, say the best way to get over flying is to do it. And there's been people, I've read stories about people get over a fear of flying by becoming a flight attendant or a pilot. And then it's just they understand it more, and they do it often, and then you're just not afraid of it anymore. That happens. That's facing your fears. That's what that is. Same thing on a ski mountain, man. Face off with that lift. Face off with that terrain. Face off with those heights. But again, you know what? Even facing fears, I have to admit that that doesn't always do anything. Like, I know people who have faced their fear of, you know, heights, have been like, well, I'm afraid of heights, so I'm going to go to the observation deck of the Empire State Building and just panic, freak out, and go back down. I'm not afraid of heights, so I don't know. I don't understand that. Facing the fear of the dark. See, I'm not wholly terrified of it, but I do get uncomfortable in it very quickly, very easily, especially when I'm away from, like, an urban center, like an urban area, or at least area where there's people. It could be a rural area, but I could leave. As long as I'm in town, I'm okay. But, like, I don't want to be in some, you know, I'll level with you. Some of it is superstition. I don't like being in cemeteries at night. It wigs me out, creeps me the hell out. Don't like it. Have done it far more than I wanted to in my life. My geocaching friends love that. They do. Get a kick out of it. They love it. And it is kind of funny for them, so it's funny for me too. And I have some stories, but that's for a whole different thing. That's for Ski Rex Media Geocaching, the Department of Geocaching or something. I don't know. But anyway, no, fears can be faced, but it doesn't always work, and I know that. So that's why I'm not here to judge you or try to tell you how to fix it. Anything more than saying, you know, get on the lift if you can, or, you know, ski the terrain. You know, but, you know, if you want to stay on greens your entire skiing and snowboarding career, that's cool with me, baby. I'll tell you what I'm afraid of. And it all kind of comes around to, again, embarrassment, fear of getting hurt, or fear of getting dead. And again, I know that simplifies it. Maybe psychiatrists and psychologists would agree with that assessment. Maybe they wouldn't. I don't know. I'm just kind of riffing here. For me, I'm a little afraid of altitude, not heights. Like, I don't mind heights. It's altitude. I use the Empire State Building as an example. I've never been in that, but I've been in the Space Needle in Seattle. I've been in the similar building in Niagara Falls. I've been up in the Arch in St. Louis. You know, I've been on the side of 7,000, 8,000, 9,000. Well, I've been up to 9,000 feet high on a 12,000-foot mountain or 11 and change. Which it's different because altitude, at least your feet are still on the ground. And I know that, and that's what I'm getting at. Altitude, at least your feet are still on the ground. Heights are your feet aren't on the ground. And even if they are, you can look down and be like, holy shit, I'm way up in the air. And that freaks people out. Heights doesn't bother me, but altitude does because I have had altitude sickness, afraid of getting hurt. I know that's not hurt, that's sick, but afraid of a medical issue. Is probably more accurate to say, and if I'm going to be dramatic about it, there are complications from altitude sickness that can be deadly, absolutely, and been so high as to deal with those because I'm afraid to go as high as I have, and it really sketches me out. Now, there is a point where it's not fear. Because it's for me, it's just planning. I have to plan. I can't just drive up to, 10,000 feet and hang out for 3 days doing stuff. You know, I have to work my way up. Again, we don't know that every time because it might not hit me every time. There's days I feel it at 6,000 feet. Not bad, but the headache and all the other symptoms and shit like that. And then getting over 9,000 and well over 9,000, upset stomach, the nausea, choking it back. It's really gross. But that's another part of it for me. Now, nobody's a fan of getting sick. And by sick, I mean vomiting, throwing up. I am not a fan of it. It is the grossest thing on earth, in my opinion. I don't like to be around it when other people are doing it. I don't like to be around when the pets are doing it. I don't like being around when I'm doing it. I don't want to do it, and I haven't in a very long time, and I'm very happy about that. I'm a little afraid of that, too, but that's, again, a whole other neurosis and phobia. But there you go. There's your definition of phobia. Maybe, I don't know. It's probably a weak definition, but anyway. I am afraid of the embarrassment of that. Let's be honest. We all know that we all do it. But, and again, this is coming from someone who's not easily embarrassed. You have to go a long way. You have to risk embarrassing yourself to even try to embarrass me. And only my really, really close friends know how to do that. But if I were on an airplane, say, and I got airsick and I couldn't get to the bathroom in time, that's embarrassing. Even if you do have one of the little bags that's in the seat in front of you, that's embarrassing. That's really embarrassing. I'm embarrassed just thinking about it. And like I said, a fear of embarrassment. I don't want that to happen in front of people. Also a fear of a medical issue, getting hurt. I don't want to have that happen. When I'm trying to be up high in the mountains, skiing, hiking, whatever it may be, it really is a thing that it comes down to embarrassment, fear of getting hurt or dead. Like I said, altitude can really wreck you. So if one can push past those things, one doesn't have anything to be afraid of on the side of any ski hill. Like I said, for me, it's altitude, not heights, but altitude, which I know you could say are the same thing, but they're not. If altitude, your feet could still be on the ground. Heights, your feet aren't on the ground. Basically, that's the distinction I make. But can they be overcome? And yes, they can. I could probably overcome the altitude thing by, trying, the medications that come with it that can be used to treat it. They don't always work, but I could try them and see where I land. But I might have to go through the embarrassment when I do that. So it's not something I plan on doing. And because of that, I plan around altitude. For people who are afraid of some chairlifts, you may be afraid of that lift. You may avoid that lift. You may avoid a lift not because you're afraid of getting on a chair, you do it all the time, or a gondola, but you might be afraid of the terrain. Again, steeps, trees, backcountry type stuff. If you have lifts that go up like that, whatever it may be. Whatever the terrain might be. Bumps, for instance, All of that stuff. I don't understand the fears because I'm not afraid of them, so I can't understand them. I believe that to really understand what someone's saying, you may have to walk a mile in their shoes, and you just can't with fear. If someone's afraid of something, they can't fear it, so they just don't understand. But I will never judge someone for it either. If you tell me, dude, I don't want to do that chair because it wiped my ass out, I can't take it, I'm not going near it. Great, we'll do something else. Gondola, not doing it. Great, we'll go do something else. I'm totally fine with that. Night skiing, I'll do it on lighted trails, which most people will, and beyond the lighted trails, it gets a little dangerous. But there are those who, hike up, who do. For instance, I would be an anxiety-ridden mess if I decided to skin up or snowshoe up pre-dawn. Like, I love going to get photos, and I've done time-lapse photos of sunrises, but I get really nervous until the sun actually comes up. I absolutely get nervous until the sun comes up. But that's something I can face just by either out and out facing it or going with other people. You know, the more people that are there, the better I feel. So that could be something too. You know, don't necessarily face it on your own. Like I said, you know, go ahead and face it with friends or ask the lifty for help if you're afraid of the lift, or, you know, make sure you talk to someone like what's at the top of this hill. And then go ahead and, you know, go ahead and get a little bit more experience. Like, don't be afraid to take a lesson, even if you are experienced. You know, these, you know, ski instructors and snowboard instructors are there to help you. They might know a trick that you don't know, and they could help you do better. And when you do better, you get more comfortable, and bam, you're not afraid anymore. So that's my take on the fears and phobias of skiing so far. And again, I think it is down to lifts and terrain and heights, and for someone like me, altitude. But they can all be faced. They can all be overcome. They can be. It doesn't mean you have to do it, and it doesn't mean that I'm saying you have to do it like a dick, like you have to. It's up to you. And if you need help, ask for it, and I'll help you too. In fact, I wouldn't mind revisiting this one. I'm going to have to revisit this because, yeah, I can go over the whole thing and give you my commentary on it and try and give you the best, most positive, you know, ideas on how to overcome these things, how to, you know, not see it so fearfully, and how that it's okay to let us help you, who those of us who aren't afraid of things that you are. But I'm going to have to revisit it. I think we're going to have to go back and see if there's other things other than those general ideas of being afraid of the chairlift and then being afraid of the chairlift because of how high it gets or because you got wiped out on it or because of the terrain at the top of it, being afraid of that terrain, being afraid of, you know, whatever it may be. Some people might be afraid that there might be a little ice on the ground in between, you know, the lift and the lodge, so who knows. We'll have to get back into this one, I think. We'll have to check in. I would like you, go ahead and, you know, you can contact me, Tim from Ski Rex Media. Go into the description, Ski Rex Forever with the number 4 at gmail.com, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all you can use direct messaging systems. Go ahead and message me with your story. Go ahead and tell me what you're afraid of. And let's talk about it. Let's see if we can fix it. Or maybe by the time we revisit it, I'll have figured out how to do guests on the podcast, and you can call in, and we could talk about it together, and we can get through it and see what's the what. Tell your story, right? Right. All right, let's move on from this then. This might have been a fun one. I've actually, in between a couple takes here and a couple things, and in between some edits you'll see, I checked out some of what I did, and I kind of like this one, I think. But I'm going to have to I haven't done the full edit yet. I just checked out what was on the camera. When it had to stop. So I kind of like this one. I hope you liked it too. Ski Rex Media, news and blog for the ski elitist, ski bums, Jerry, and everybody in between. Please subscribe if you haven't on your favorite podcasting audio website, whether it be Apple Podcast, if you use the Buzzsprout link, if you use Spotify, if you use the fourth one that I can never remember, iHeartRadio, that's the fourth one. If you use those, make sure you subscribe, make sure you download every week, and you can go back for as many past episodes as are available in the audio version and the video version. All episodes are available on the YouTube channel. If you are watching, then you already know that, and you can just go down and find all the episode information you need. All right, so subscribe, share it with your friends. If you enjoyed it, please do comment. I love the interaction, so comment on the Facebook, on the Twitter, on the Instagram, and, you know, wherever else you can. On the website, all the written posts at skirexmedia.com. I have things to comment, and typically there's only spammers and bots that, you know, comment down there, which is fine. I can deal with that. But you can comment, you can share, and please subscribe, and then check out the Patreon if you want to help support the program. $1 minimum, but do whatever you want, and I don't really have a paywall anyway. So the content's going to keep coming, but if you like it and you want to support, you can do that. Or you can go into the merch shop. I have to put up more SRM walking billboard, hashtag SRM walking billboard photos because people have bought the stuff and have been wearing it or using stickers. I just put some on the car, and I have the ultimate. My license plates say Ski Rex, so there you go. All right, everybody, thank you again for watching. This is Tim, Ski Rex Media. I will check you out this Saturday, May 2nd at 8 o'clock Eastern Time for another live cast where we're going to talk some embarrassing stories, and then who knows from there what we'll be talking about, all right? Actually, next week on this on the recorded show might be lost ski areas, but I haven't figured that one out quite yet. I'll see you on the next one, and I'll see you out and about around New England and Vermont. All right, kids, have a nice day or week.